I want to now continue in the book of Genesis where we were last week. And I thought I would be able to get to a point that I mentioned last week I would take you to, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do that today. However, we will look further at the lives of Jacob and Esau. And as I said last week, let me reiterate again this week that when we look, we pick up this book, this collection, if you will, of books, this Bible is about one person. It's about one person. It's about Jesus Christ and how God wrought salvation through him. And so when we look, be it historically, the historical books, the poetic books, prophetic books, the Gospels, what have you, all of them point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the unfolding of who he is to us. And so as we come in particular to the Genesis chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, we look at the stories of Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau. Let me read what this one brother said, or one dictionary said concerning the birthright. He said this: it is striking how often God set aside the birthright. Let me say it again. It is striking how often God set aside the birthright. Everyone understands birthright. When you're first born, you have the right to the blessing. The birthright is what gets you the blessing. And so Esau, being the firstborn, had the birthright. But this, I like what this is saying, how often God set aside the birthright in order to show that the objects of his choice are born not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And just to illustrate that, if you remember, Abraham's first son was named Ishmael. He would be the firstborn. He would be the one to have the birthright and get the blessing. Isaac was his secondborn. So God said to Abraham, no, Ishmael is not getting the blessing. Isaac is. There's an example of God setting aside the birthright in order to choose otherwise. Not only there, but it happened again as we're in our current story. God set aside Esau and chose Jacob for the birthright. Then Jacob had 12 sons. Reuben was the firstborn. God set aside Reuben and chose Joseph for the birthright. Right? Then as you go down throughout history, David was chosen above when Samuel went to select the king. All of Jesse's sons, thank you, walked before him, and the Lord said, I haven't chosen any of these. It was the youngest. Okay? And then David's son, David had six wives as king, and he had multiple sons. Absalom was the firstborn and probably the most beautiful. But his brother, after, when David was really old, his brother, Adonijah, decides he's going to be king. And Bathsheba goes into David and says, didn't you say Solomon was going to be king? And so even though Adonijah by birth had the right to the throne, God chose Solomon. And then you come down to you and I. I'm going to take it further. I'm going to take it a little bit beyond where this brother left it. See, because the Jews were the firstborn. Jesus, the scripture says, John says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And so the firstborn was rejected so that you and I could be birthed in this place. Now the Jews are going to get theirs, right? We know that. But here are you and I, that we might be chosen of God to be sons and daughters of the Most High. So we see All throughout the scripture, we see God stepping over the firstborn in order to choose according to his purpose and his good pleasure. Amen. And I tell you what, if it pleases him, it's fine with me. If it pleases him, I'm okay. I'm good with it. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have a Bible, we're going to start and just I want to look at another story in to try and frame this context where we are in Genesis chapter 25. Excuse me, a bit of where we left off. We'll start in verse 29. Father, we thank you now for your word as we come to it. Help us, Lord, to be fed, instructed, illuminated, and blessed by the word, Lord, and changed and transformed by the washing of the water of the word of God, Lord, as we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jacob cooked a stew. This is interesting when I read that. See, because back in the day, in this day, who did all the cooking? Women. It lets you know, just that one phrase lets you know about Jacob's construction. You see, the Bible says, we read earlier last week, it said that Isaac loved Esau, Rebecca loved Jacob. Esau was a man of the field, was a hunter, and went out, did the killing, and brought home the food that then would be cooked. Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. He was always around his mother. I said last week, we would call him a homeboy, the way they, you know, we label people today. We do. They did it then. He dwelled in tents. He was a home. He was a mother's boy, if you will. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Huh? Listen, I always say it doesn't matter what man calls you. It matters what he calls you. And hey, can I say it again? I should say it again. It doesn't matter what man calls you. It matters what he calls you. And beloved, that he calls you at all. See, it don't matter. Just call me. Just please call me. Right? All right. We'll get that straight. So now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom, which means red. Okay. I used to have a friend, his nickname, we called him Red. Yeah. And his name was Gary, but we called him, what's up, Red? You know, that was his nickname. Verse 31, but Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Now, When we come to this, you know, this scripture, I tell you, let me tell you, because I often say this because I recognize that I'm human. And I always say, Lord, please don't let me mess it up. Help. See, because I'm human. So help them to get it, Lord. So in case I mess anything up in this, what I want you to understand is this. God gets his will done. Even through imperfect, sinful people. Amen. He gets it done. That is such a powerful thought, because as I'm driving down the road and I hear Hillary Clinton's running for president. Can I start it? Okay. Jeb Bush is running for president. Terry Crews is running, and it goes on and on and on. And here are your choices. And I said to myself, dear heavens. And then I said, thank you, Jesus, for Psalm 74 that says promotion comes neither from the north or the south, but it comes from the Lord. Because he puts down one and he raises up another. Now, we go through all our gyrations and we do all this stuff. And you say, well, you say it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that, but I'm going to show you right here a whole bunch of people going through a whole lot of gyrations and stuff. And God's still going to get his will done. That's what I'm talking about. Because this makes me so secure in God. Because listen, beloved, we're not running things down here. I know we think we are. But Daniel told the people, he said, or the angel said, that God rules in the kingdom of men. God rules. He said, to be more exact, he said, heaven rules in the kingdom of men. I know we think we rule everything. Freedom, the president of the United States, leader of the free world. Hello. Hello. No. Heaven rules. And so for you and I, that's where I'm going with this, because there are a few stories where every person involved, is sinning just as much as the other one. And you're sitting there going, what on earth? God, how? It's like Dallas. Now I'm dating myself. What would be the Dallas of our day? I don't know. It would be like, so you don't know what Dallas is, but it would be like one of these shows where everybody, I mean, everything's tainted. It's horrible. And you say, God, you at work in that? Mm-hmm. So where we're going with this is we're seeing that Jacob now, he's opportunistic, and we're seeing a weak, a very hungry. Come on, we've been very hungry before. He's not just hungry, he's tired. Okay, Esau, now I'm not making, don't get me wrong, I'm not making excuses for Esau. But what we're about to see is what Esau thought of his birthright. And beloved, it has implication to us. Come on. Jacob used the moment of weakness to manipulate Esau out of his birthright. Okay? It kind of reminded me of when Esau was coming out of the womb. When he came out, the Bible says that when Jacob came out, his heel grabbed Esau. And Jacob had hope. It was almost like a prophetic act, if you will, that Jacob would supplant Esau. So he used this weakness, this weak moment for Esau to manipulate him out of his birthright. It was God's will for him to have it, but he went about to do it himself instead of waiting on God. Right? It was God's will for Jacob to have the birthright and the blessing. But, now remember the prophecy. God told Rebekah, he says, the older shall serve the younger. So it was already God's will for it to be this way, but we see human ingenuity at work. And so in verse 32, and it reads, and Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So Esau exaggerates. And we say that today. I mean, we do that. He said, I'm dying, man. How you doing? Oh, I feel like I'm about to die. No, we're not. And so Esau says, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? So Esau counted his temporal hunger of more worth, listen, than God's lifetime designation of firstborn. You and I do not designate ourselves. We don't determine who is firstborn. He does. Okay? So when he grants you firstborn status, you ought to value it. Hello. Now, beloved, we're firstborn in the spirit. John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, which says we are born not of the will of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And we need to value our firstborn status. The birthright is established by God and must be valued by men. If the birthright isn't valued by men, the blessing is not enjoyed by men. If the birthright isn't valued by men, we see this in Esau's life. He didn't value his birthright. Therefore, he didn't get to enjoy the blessing. Right? So, the obtaining of Esau's birthright seems to have encouraged Jacob to get the blessing as well. It goes on in verse 33 and says this, then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau thought very lowly of something that God had given him. God had given him a status, but Esau thought, I could take it, I could leave it, I don't need it, it's not worth anything to me. Here, Jacob. Years ago, I preached a sermon titled, Don't Despise Your Birthright, because we are the firstborn. As Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, that is. So the scripture says that Esau despised his birthright, whereas Esau despised his birthright. What's interesting is that Jacob was running after it. Jacob was willing to manipulate, lie, deceive, steal. He was willing to do anything he could to get the birthright. Why? Why? What was the difference between Esau and Jacob? Esau didn't care anything about his birthright. He says, look, I'm hungry. I'm about to die. What is it worth to me? Here, you take it. He didn't care about it. Jacob, on the other hand, he said, swear to me. Give me that birthright. Could it be that somewhere in Jacob's constitution, that what God said before, when they were still in the womb, about the older shall serve the younger, the prophetic act that then happened after they were born, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel. Could it be that somewhere in Jacob was this destiny for him to have that birthright? Somehow stirring in him. I don't know. I'm just saying, as we look at the text. But also, we get this out of it. Here we see the extent to which God would use sinful and imperfect men to bring about his sinless and perfect son. Because, as I said, that's what's really going on here. When you read the Bible, you're constantly amazed at how God got anything done through the people he used. From Abraham, he's the father of our faith, but he was a liar. I mean, he was a liar on his wife. I mean, he was a liar. Abraham had some issues. But so, I mean, if God waited for someone who had no issues. No, God had to use people. And so he chose Abraham, and Abraham gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac was just like Abraham. He lied on his to save himself, just as Abraham did. And then Abraham had, I mean, Isaac gave birth to Jacob. And we're studying where Jacob lied. He didn't lie one time. He didn't lie two times. He lied like three times, and it just goes on and on and on. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And his sons came to him and said, Joseph was killed by a wild animal. He is no more. And the 12, these sons, these 11 sons, lied to Jacob. And on and on and on it went. But God was using sinful, imperfect people to bring about his sinless, perfect son. Only God can get light out of darkness, can extract life out of death. Only God can do this. And this is the miracle of the Bible, is what God was doing to bring forth his son. He's doing the same thing in our day, because here he has Paul called himself chief sinner, so I can call myself a imperfect sinful person, even though I'm a saint. I am a saint. I do sin, as we all do. And yet God has determined that he's going to bring his perfect, sinless son through you and me. The same thing he's doing here in Genesis 25. So it's a miracle. It is a miracle. Now, we're going to jump over to Genesis chapter 27, verse 1, and it reads, now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son and said to him, "My son," and he answered him and said, "Here I am." Now, when we read this, that Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, I believe it definitely points to his physical condition, but beyond that, it points, I believe, further to his spiritual condition. Because you know the story that Isaac is blind, and he wants to bless Esau, but Jacob comes, and when Jacob says, "Father, here I am," Isaac says, it's the voice of Jacob. Now imagine now. How old is he? He's probably in his 70s, maybe his 80s. How long you been hearing your son's voice? Just like 60 years. I mean, I think I know his voice. So Jacob comes in. He's got the food. We'll get to that in a second. He's dressed up and everything, but Isaac can't see. And he says, "Who is it?" He says, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." And Isaac goes, "Hold on." He says, "The voice," he says, "you sound like Jacob." And then he questions him and so forth. But so I say that to say this, that not only could he not see physically, but I believe spiritually, his senses were dulled. And why would they be dulled? Well, verse 2 says this, "Then he said, Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Sounds like Isaac really liked Esau because of that good Golden Corral cooking. I mean, you just wonder. I mean, was there some affinity there? The scripture says Isaac loved Esau. I didn't say it. The scripture said it. And then he says, "I'm going to bless you, but go out there and kill the game. Make it for me so that my soul may bless you." What's interesting about this is that Isaac would have lived 20 or more years beyond this time, even though Isaac said, "I do not know the day of my death." Now, I have, as I said last week, Isaac and Rebekah would have discussed the word of the Lord that came to Rebekah about Esau and Jacob, how that Jacob would reign over Esau, and that she was carrying twins in her womb. So it was interesting that he called Esau to bless him. So let me get down. Verse 5 reads, "Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son." Gentlemen, when you talk to one another, there's typically a female somewhere listening. No, it reminds you of, remember when Abraham, the angels came to visit Abraham, they're talking to him. The scripture says this, Sarah was in the tent behind them listening. And so that's what it immediately reminds you of. Rebekah is listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats." Isaac sent Esau to the field. Rebekah sent Jacob to the flock. Esau to the field, Jacob to the flock. Something's going on here. Now, so she says, "Go down to the flock, bring me there these goats, I will make the food that your father loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat and that he may bless you before my death." Now, what is interesting about this, and as we look at this, you say, what is going on? Why is Isaac, you know, he's called Esau. There seems to be a division in the home, would you say? Might there be any divisions in any homes today? No, we're not talking about that. We're going to stick to the scriptures. But God help us. Isaac calls Esau. Rebecca calls Jacob. Let me read this. This, because this will shed some light on it. And we have to remember, Esau had married two wives. The women were Canaanites. The Canaanites were idolaters. Abraham and Isaac worshiped the one true God. That is why before Abraham died, he told his servant, go back to my father's house, get me a wife. Do not let Isaac marry any of these women here. Because Abraham knew God had promised that he would bring through him the Messiah, and he was to worship the one God. If he marries these women, these idolatrous women, they're going to drag my son off into idolatry. So Abraham didn't let Isaac do that. Why didn't Isaac do that for Esau? Esau has married two wives. Abraham only had one wife. Isaac had one wife. But Esau had two wives. And then if you keep reading, he marries a third, which was not to be done, in, particularly in this day. Moreover, they were Hittites, Canaanites. So when we read this, this says, why had not Isaac insisted on or even arranged a suitable match for Esau? Worse still, Isaac on his deathbed flouted convention and showed total bias towards Esau. When patriarchs knew that their death was near, they were expected to summon all their sons and give them each a blessing. You'll remember when Jacob did it in Genesis chapter 48 through 50. He was about to die. He called all his 12 sons, had them stand before him. And when he blessed them, listen, beloved, that blessing was not just a human pronouncement. It was a prophetic announcement. Because these patriarchs would go off to prophesy. And I read one before as we started service. But so they would call in all the sons and summon all their sons to give each of them a blessing. Now, lamely pretending he does not know the day of his death, Isaac summoned only his favorite, Esau. No wonder Rebekah, who had long preferred Jacob, was incensed. So where Isaac should have called Esau and Jacob, he only called Esau. Why? Something in Isaac leaned toward Esau. Could it be the savory meat? I love to eat. Son, go get me my meal. And my soul really gonna bless you. I'm really gonna bless you. But go get me that meal that I love so much. And my soul will bless you. So, you know, what's interesting about this, Jacob could not do what Esau could do. Jacob was a man of the tent. But Rebecca said, don't worry, I'm going to fix that. Rebecca says, I got something for that. So, so it goes on down in verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. And I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him and shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. And so Jacob here initially sounds like, you know, I don't want to do this, Mom. This is not the right way. I'm going to get a curse if I do this. So he was generally either morally or some other way, he was inclined not to do this, and he was going to choose the right way. I said last week that, you know, Rebecca, everyone in this story, none of them are without fault. Isaac seems to have had a favorite. Rebecca had a favorite. Rebecca instigated the whole thing. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. Esau despised his birthright that he got from God. Everyone in this story, it is just filled with sin. I mean, all of these people are misstepping, selfish, doing what they want, only out for themselves. So Jacob says, no, this is not the right way to do this. And we remember that when David could have killed Saul. Remember, David had received a prophetic word, King David, said that one day you'll be king. And when he stumbles, not stumbles, he comes up upon Saul asleep. And Abishai, one of his mighty men, said, "The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand." He says, "Let me smite him with a spear, and I won't have to strike him a second time." That's how good Abishai was. He did, "I could kill you with one shot." And David says, "No." He says, "No. Let not my hand be upon him." He says, "The Lord will take him out if that's his will, but I am not going to do this." In other words, David recognized the right way to go about something. Beloved, you and I have challenges. Even in my own life, I said I went to purchase a vehicle for somebody, and I have to go check, make sure everything was done right, because they put in a deal for me and got me this special deal. You know, I told so and so that you were this, and I'm like, "You did?" "Yeah," and I got approval. I'm like, "You did?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, that's good for me, but I got to make sure you told everything you told them was right, because I don't want to get into this." And they say, "Well, isn't this is what he said?" Da 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 da. And if it's not, and I'm sitting there looking like a fool, right? Got to do it God's way. Even though God promises us something, we have to let God do it and do it his way. But so Jacob wasn't fighting a whole lot. He said, "Okay, Mom, you took care of the food, but how about my anatomy?" I mean, it goes on and he says, but his mother said to him, let your curse be on me. Only obey my voice and go get them. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made the savory food. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau and put them on Jacob, because Jacob had said, "Look, he's a hairy man. I'm smooth skinned. And, you know, Mom, what if that doesn't work?" And then Rebekah said, "I'll fix that." And so she put the skins on his hands and on the parts of his neck, gave him the food. And Jacob goes into his father and says, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Verse 19, Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." And here we come to the first lie. Now, I know this has happened to none of us. I mean, you go in to someone who's blind and they say, "Who are you?" And you tell them a bold-faced lie. I mean, it's just plain. Can you imagine? Now, I don't have two sons, so Tori couldn't go in and say I'm Justin. Justin couldn't go in and say I'm Tori. But, you know, it'd be like Sawan going in and saying I'm Brian, and James going, "Oh, okay, I'll buy that." No, I mean, how do you do this? He says, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may live and bless me." So Jacob lies to his father in saying he is Esau. Now, the reason why we know this isn't right, because it seems as if God is condoning lying. We know that's not the case. God would require later, remember, at the brook, at the Jabbok, at the ford, when the angel wrestled with Jacob, the angel, they wrestled all night. And the scripture says, when the angel saw that he wasn't prevailing, he touched the hollow, the socket of Jacob's thigh. And this is what the angel said to him: "What is your name?" Because Jacob lied. God said, "I'm going to redeem you, but you're going to have to tell the truth. What is your name?" Beloved, we find ourselves in the exact same position. That's why I said about this whole deal, this guy working out here. Listen, you may as well tell the truth now, because you're going to have to tell it at some point. See? And so, you know, Jacob lies here, but later on, that whole thing would come around again. So in Genesis 32:27 is where he was required to say, "My name is Jacob." So verse 20, it goes on and says, "But Isaac said to him, 'How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord your God brought it to me, lie number two. If there's a strike one, then this would be strike two. Jacob would lie to his father again, but this time he would invoke the name of the Lord. Because the Lord, your God, brought it to me. Now, beloved, you know, told some lies before. But you say, yeah, God did it. God told me to. For real? But that's what Jacob did. It's interesting because it is God's blessing that Jacob seeks, yet he lies in his name to get it, to try and obtain it. What is going on here? Does God reward lying? Well, the answer we know is no. But I refer you to, in light of all that we're reading, I refer you to Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. I love this passage of scripture because, beloved, it is so wonderful and it is so speaks to you and I. Romans 9, in the context, Paul is speaking about Israel. And he says, this, starting verse 10, it reads, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." And what this scripture is simply saying is that before Esau and Jacob were ever born, before they had done good or evil, God had determined that the older would serve the younger. Christ was coming through Jacob and not Esau. So when we get to the actual living out of it, we say, how could God do this? How could he allow this? God had already determined. He had chosen Jacob before Jacob had done anything. It didn't matter what Jacob had done. As to the purpose of God, it didn't matter. Now, would God make sure that things that he confronted? Yes, all that happened later in the life, in Jacob's life. He would have to own up for the evil that he did. They all had to pay. Rebekah paid. Okay. Esau paid. Isaac, they all paid. But God chose them for his purpose. God chose Jacob for his purpose before he had ever come out the womb. And beloved, that applies to you and I. Because you see, when we're struggling with a sin, it could be the sin of lying. It could be any sin. And when we're struggling with that sin and we do it and we fall and our heart smotes us, and we cry out to God, God, forgive me, Lord. And we and it really is bothering us. I mean, we're repentant over it. I mean, we don't want to be bound by any sin. And it could go on for years. Doesn't matter how long. And we keep going to God. And this type of thought begins to enter our mind. God's going to get me one day. I mean, he's not going to keep putting up with this. But you see, the reason why God chose you is not because you don't sin or can overcome sin. The reason why God chose Jacob is obviously not because he's not a liar or a thief or a supplanter. He was all those things. God chose Jacob before he did anything, good or evil. Didn't matter what he did, God chose him. Beloved, it doesn't matter what you do. God has chosen you for his purpose. Now, am I saying you can live any old way you want? No, you know I'm not saying that. Because Esau had to meet with God. And God didn't allow Jacob had to meet with God. And God did not allow Jacob to stay the same. That whole process when he says, what is your name? He says, my name is Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a supplanter. I'm a liar. God said to him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you are a prince with God. And just like God changed Jacob's name, he's changed you and my name so that that sin that had dominion over us will have dominion over us no longer. You will overcome it. Why? Because of the perfect and sinless one who lives in you, not by our goody two-shoeness. And I struggled through my sin and I got victory over and everybody look at me and how great I am. No. No. That will never happen. And so you see that it is because God chose you that the purpose according to election might stand. Not of works. It's not based upon what you've done. What you do cannot get you lost because what you did didn't save you. If what you've done didn't save you, what you do can't unsave you. God saved you. He started it. It's his purpose. And just like he chose Jacob to bring Christ through, he chose you and I to bring Christ through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That my choosing is not based upon how good I can live. His choosing you is not based upon how good you can live. Because I don't know about you, I can't live good. Apart from him, I can't do it. Come on. So, verse 21, it goes on. Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son. Whether you really are my son. I mean, Isaac he's leery. He's doubting. He's like, what's going on here? And so Jacob went near to his father, to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him. I believe this was God working in all. You say, how does God even do what he does? I don't know. He's just so magnificent at who he is and what he does with sinners. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Strike three. Here it comes. Jacob lies a third time. And then Isaac said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. And then his father, Isaac, said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. That struck me, which the Lord has blessed. Somebody tell me, why would the Lord bless a field? Because he chose to. The Lord can bless, I mean, but why would the Lord bless a field? Because he wanted to. He would bless the field of Abraham. He would bless the field of Isaac. Genesis 26 and 3 says that Isaac sold in the land in the time of famine. He sold in the land God told him to stay in. He reaped 100-fold during the famine. 100-fold, okay? That's God's blessing. So he chose to. Why did the Lord choose Jacob instead of Esau? Because he wanted to. So, the blessing comes. He says, therefore, may God give you the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Here it is. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. Now, this blessing was an irrevocable blessing. Once Isaac gave it, once he spoke it, he could not change it. This was the blessing that God gave him to give to the one who would be the designate to receive the blessing. In this case, not Esau the firstborn, but Jacob. Verse 30. Now It happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise, eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And so he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Now you imagine now that Esau saying this, Isaac is blind, but he's saying it, and it's Esau's voice. It's not Jacob's voice. Now what we have to remember is this. Remember when Esau sold his birthright? When Esau sold his birthright, technically, he was no longer a candidate for the blessing that he was looking to get from his father. Even though Isaac said, "Go get me this food so my soul may bless you," when he sold the birthright, the blessing belonged to the one who had the birthright. Esau sold it. Esau may say, "I don't care about the birthright. Jacob, you can have it." Now, we don't know if Isaac and Rebekah knew about this. Nonetheless, here it is. And so verse 33, "Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed.'" My goodness. "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me also, my father.'" That's so different than when he was standing before Jacob and saying, "What's this to me? It doesn't worth it. Here, you can have it. Swear to me." "I swear it's yours." Now he's crying, but the birthright allowed you to get the blessing. So why could you not care for the birthright, but now all you want is the blessing? Does that sound familiar? Going to any church. How many of you want the Lord to bless you? Everyone jumping up. Yes! Well, you want? Y'all want to be a millionaire to win the lottery and all this. The blessing that the Lord... That's another sermon. I'm going off. I'm going to leave that alone. Backtrack. So he said, bless me also, my father. But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." This is what's so interesting. When God allowed Jacob to deceive Isaac, but in doing so, God's purpose was fulfilled. Where do we see that? God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him to the Ishmaelites, who sold him to the Midianites, who took him into Egypt, which fulfilled God's purpose. You see, He is so awesome that he figures people's wickedness is all figured into his plan so that you cannot outmaneuver him. There's nothing you can do. Proverbs 21, I believe in verse 30, says there is no wisdom, counsel, or instruction against the Lord. In other words, there's no way for you to figure him out. You cannot outwit him, because the moment you decide to go this way, it's already been included in his plan. You may say, "I'm running away." I started reading Jonah this morning, and Jonah, God said, "Go to Nineveh." Jonah says, "I'm going to Tarshish." So he goes down to Joppa, jumps on a boat. And I love this. Next time you read Jonah, check out this word. It's prepared. Love this word. This is my word. This is my word. Because the scripture says, when he got on the boat, the Bible says, and God prepared a wind. Every which way, it doesn't matter which way Jonah went, God had already made preparation. See? And so when Jonah got thrown into the water, the scripture says this, and God prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. It doesn't matter, anyone who's going against the Lord, it doesn't matter what you do, he has already made preparation. You cannot fight against him. right? So it doesn't matter who is working. God has already made preparation. People say, it was like that pastor who said, if God lets Obama be president, he's going to tarnish his reputation. I'll never forget it. I thought to myself, he's a pastor. He did this on national television. And when I heard it, I thought, boy, you's in bad shape. How you going to say that about God? For real? You think God is holding to men? No way. No way. See, because God allowed Cyrus to command Assyria, and then God turned his heart and sent the Jews out of Babylonia, out of Babylon, back to Israel, which was an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. All right. Let me go on. Where am I? Okay. Let me read a few more scriptures and we'll wrap this up. So Jacob obtained the blessing through deceit, yet it was God's will for him to have it. Why? All of those involved were influenced by selfishness and sin, yet God accomplished his will in spite of it all. God is good beyond our ability to even conceive or describe. And so verse 36 says, and Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, which is a bit of an exaggeration. He's downplaying the fact that he gave it away. He didn't take it from you, Esau. He asked you for it. And you, because you didn't care for it, said, yeah, I swear, here, have it. He says, he's taken away my birthright. Now, look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do for you now, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing? I imagine Isaac saying, have I only one firstborn? That blessing is gone, son. And so he blessed him. He says, have you only one blessing? Bless me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. What he means is my father's about to die. And he says, then I will kill my brother Jacob. This was a messed up. This is just a terrible family situation. As Adam and Eve's home blew up and Cain killed Abel, you have the same thing going on right here. In the words of Esau, her older son were told to Rebekah. Someone heard Esau ranting about this, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him for a few days until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will sin and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? Rebekah's, what she had to deal with because of her deceiving Isaac, was that when Jacob went to her brother Laban in Haran, he wasn't there for, quote unquote, a few days. He was there for 21 years. Rebekah never saw Jacob again. You say, God's will was done, but everyone had to pay for their sin. Rebekah's payment was she never saw him again. Never laid eyes, because when he got back, Rebekah was dead. Isaac was still alive 21 years later, but Rebekah had passed on. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life, last verse, verse 46, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, speaking of Esau's wives. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? What good will my life be to me? So in all of the conniving and all of the lying and all of that human sin, God was at work bringing forth his perfect, sinless son. And that's what I love about the scriptures. And that's because it sheds such light on today. Because in homes galore, in people's lives, you see things tore up. I mean, you just see situations just tore up, yet God is in the midst, bringing forth Christ, his perfect and sinless son. Why? So that all might be saved. Amen? He's doing that in our lives. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth concerning your son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, that it is you at work in us. And because you've started it, you're going to finish it. You're going to complete it to your glory, for your glory and for our good. And I say, Lord, let the work of God prosper in our homes. Let the work of God prosper in our heart. Oh God, forgive our sin, wash and cleanse us, Lord, and that Christ would shine so magnificently through us, oh God, Lord, that your kingdom might be established, that your rule might be realized, oh God, and that our lives might be continually saved, Lord, and so many others would enter the kingdom of God, we pray. Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this word and its application to our hearts and souls all this week. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.